sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Go, run, go.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is Hal Sparks from Queer's Folk. And, Hal, you also...
Thank you, yes. With none of those qualifications, for the record, you know.
Just in case anybody was...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hal Sparks' opinion is not endorsed by the show.
Hal's got a brain, got a sense of humor, so he's allowed to be here and chime in on anything he wants.
Thank you very much.
Tell Anderson to cut his mic off. Queer's Folk is the show you know him from now. You knew him from Talk Soup, mm-hmm. 99, 2000. Well, there's a couple things I want to get into. First, actually, I'm looking at my cheat sheet here, and it says in 1987 you were called the funniest teenager in Chicago.
Yes.
How does that happen?
It was a stand-up competition, and I was doing stand-up. I've been doing stand-up since I was 15.
Wow.
So.
How old were you when you were the funniest teacher? Funniest teenager.
17.
17?
Yes, I won second place the first year, and I came back and claimed the title.
Wow.
Yeah. Little known fact, I also wrote the material of the second place, third place, and fifth place runner-ups in that.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, because I worked at my high school. We had a big kind of group, clique of comics.
Where did they have the competition? I'm just curious.
At Ditka's.
Mom's Garage.
Ditka's.
Mike Ditka's restaurant. Yeah, it was just, you know, kind of the venue.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you ever go, you remember some of those jokes?
Oh, God. Yeah, I suppose. I mean.
But just,
am I going to repeat them? No.
No. No, I wouldn't ask that.
They're
but
filthy.
I mean, is it just sort of about being 17 and being in high school?
No, I moved. I grew up.
Did you resort to the masturbation humor like Adam continues to resort to?
No,
the
I don't think.
38.
I don't say that's resorting to anything. That's pulling the ripcord of comedy. If you're in a dark spot, you need to get out. That's how you do it.
That's right.
Everyone can relate.
Adam spends a lot of time in that dark spot.
Pulling my ripcord.
No, but I grew up in Kentucky, and then I moved to Chicago when I was 14. With a heavy southern accent and a dark brown peach fuzz mustache, which was depressing. And it was just like the routine was like 7 minutes of my hell.
And you had in high school, you had a little group that met that worked on stand-up material and stuff?
Yeah, we did competition in acting and drama in my
high
school.
That's the group you wrote for.
Yeah, yeah. So I would work with these guys and we just pitch jokes around, see what worked. Because we couldn't go to clubs. We weren't old enough.
Right.
And then after I won the contest, I got to go to Zany's, and then I did a political club in Chicago called the Cloud Club, which I wasn't old enough to go to, so the owner, who was one of the judges, would walk me through the bar part into the back, and I would do my act that night, like three times that night, and you know, and I wasn't old enough to vote, and I was doing jokes about Reagan. And
it also says here, ironically, that you've never had a drink of alcohol.
Nope, not one.
Wow.
Never smoked anything, never done any drugs, zip.
All right, get out of here, kid. Hit the bricks.
No,
we don't need your kind in here. And what, throwing that in my face. You see the way he threw that in my face, Drew?
What, yeah, oh yeah.
Never, I never smoked also, you mean?
Yeah, smoking, the boozing.
Yeah.
And what, were your parents alcoholics or something?
Mm-mm.
What happened?
No,
what went wrong?
I'm part native.
There you go. Say no more.
Yeah, there's no real, you know, if there's a gene going on there, I probably have it.
There is a gene.
So I just chose to avoid it.
Cherokee, Cheyenne.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Cherokee and Crow.
Oh boy.
So that was just a choice. Really young, at like 13. I'm like, I'm not doing this ever. And you know, and then it became like.
Oh, Adam's gonna show you.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
He
speaks.
But only when he's drunk.
He's drunk every night.
I could turn Japanese at the end.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a kamikaze pilot at the end. You know. They were on meth, by the way. Just to, okay.
So
you don't know what it's like to be drunk, huh?
I mean, I've been kicked in the head. I mean,
You know what it's like to be out of it a little bit, but not drunk.
Sure, no, I've never been drunk.
Tonight is to get you drunk.
Yeah.
I can see it formulating.
Well,
it's been tried by prettier people than you. And it's
that's his deal.
Yeah, it won't happen. What is my deal?
I got a couple of 40-ounce Mickeys.
I've been here 12 minutes. Dr. Drew's already dissecting me, ladies and gentlemen.
Going out to the parking lot during the break.
Seriously, I mean, I grew. You know, you grow up in Kentucky and you just watch people lives away. and it doesn't interest you. Really, if you're going to get out, if you're going to stay there, you know, that's the only thing that will keep you alive, quite frankly. You know, when you're working at a filling station, you're like, I need to smoke rock to get through this day.
Well, I grew up out here, so I'm not going anywhere. I mean, I can booze.
Need to smoke rock, is what you're saying.
All
right, so let's move forward here. So now you're doing Talk Soup, and that's a pretty big break for you.
Yes,
in 99, right?
Yeah.
I mean, long audition process.
5 years.
Oh, my God.
Five-year audition process?
Yeah, they brought me in every year that John was on the air. I think unbeknownst to John.
What happened to him? What's he doing now?
Smoking rock.
Kentucky. I can't comment. All I can say is, you know, it's funny to go on this show because I was on it for 2 days and everybody's like, it's a big springboard. And I'm like, you know what? Kinnear left. It took him 3 years to get a job afterwards. He did Sabrina 3 years after he left Talk Soup. And then I'm there 2 days and they're like, go, John, go. And I'm like, you know what? Let him live or die on his own talent. And then, you know, I'm there for a year and I end up doing something good. So it's like everybody thinks it skips a generation now for Aisha.
Oh,
every third person, you know, and the odd number talk show, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's like you do, you know, you live your life based on whatever break you're given. You can either screw it up or run with it. And
well, who's doing, is Talk Soup on now?
Nope, they canceled it.
Oh, that's
9 months
I
after I left. You're welcome.
That was Aisha Tyler, was I remember her?
Yeah, I remember she was the last one, but I was wondering if there's going to be anyone after her, but they just pulled the plug.
Yep.
Well, it had a run.
Yeah.
But anyway,
7 years.
You left after a year, but then did Queer's Folk come up right up against it?
Sort of. I was shooting Dude Wears My Car, actually, and the script for Queer's Folk was going around, and nobody would read it. Like, everybody was avoiding it, and a lot of stars wouldn't read for it. A lot of gay actors wouldn't read for it. A lot of straight actors wouldn't read for it. Their agents wouldn't let them have a copy. It was really heavy duty. And so when I found out about it, I asked my manager, like, she gave it to me, and she said, it's really good. Read it. Let me know what you think. And it was fantastic. And I was like, how can you pass this up? If I'm an actor, if I don't take it because I'm afraid of being typecast as gay or worried about that, you know, the idea that that's a stigma, I'm a jerk. So I read for it, and I got it. I was, I think, 3.5 weeks after I left Talk Soup.
So you left Talk Soup because
Reed was fired.
Stuff was happening.
Yeah. No. I was fired.
You were fired.
Oh yeah.
Well, why were you fired?
That's a complicated thing. I think, you know, my ratings were really excellent. The show was going really well. I think they were a little bit worried that it was, you know, kind of getting a little out of their control, and they wanted me to do what the writers wanted to do more often.
Oh, Adam.
Because those guys had been there. Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I had a little run-in with the Talk Soup writers myself.
Yeah, you know, they wanted me to do their material, and I was like, this is a lot of it. A lot of what was coming across my desk was either racist, sexist, homophobic, misogynistic.
Well, that was the reason
that's good material. That was my problem.
I'm like,
not enough of this stuff.
Leave that for Adam when he guest hosts. My thing is, it's my face. I'll do my style of humor, you know. And they were giving me jokes they wrote for John, you know. And I was like, I can't do it. And so they'd been there longer, so they had more power. So they kind of weaseled me out.
Wow! See the sons of bitch writers
just wouldn't read a word of it.
Yeah, well, that's what I did too. And they hated me. It was like the last 3 months on the show were hell. I mean, and then they just cut me off without letting me do a final goodbye show. They were just like,
oh yeah,
you're screwed. Goodbye.
Wow.
Yeah, because they thought I would disappear. I'd only been there a year, so who the hell is he, and, you know, and whatever. And then 2 weeks later, I got Dude, Where's My Car? I'm the winner of the week in Entertainment Weekly, and apparently there was this big thing where they wouldn't let me on E for a year. They wouldn't show anything.
Oh, they wouldn't show
any
clips or anything?
No, nothing. Nice. Yeah, I didn't exist. I was persona non grata.
Now who's laughing?
Both of us. I'm back in the goods with them. They changed all the executives, so it's a better organization a little bit. But that show went away.
Well, Queer's Folk is Sunday nights, 10 o'clock, on Showtime, and it's third season.
And Tuesday nights in high def, so if you're...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, it's that cable, you know, they run it every 13 hours, you know.
Right. All right. Are you gay, by the way?
No.
Oh, okay. Drew, what'd you think? You think Hal was gay?
No, he was talking about...
I just want to know what
he
kind
was
of...
talking about... I figure this not drinking thing... was a way to get women drunk, because he said that. He goes, prettier people than you have tried to get me drunk.
See, but there's prettier men than me.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Quite a few. See,
yeah.
They're all on, you know.
They're in this room.
Just, they're on my show. No, I've never been with a girl who's drunk.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't be.
Whoa. What the hell is going on?
He's the anti-Adam. It's awesome. Yes. This might be a combustion here or something. There could be some sort of antimatter, a black hole created right here on Loveline.
I want to find out he's my father. No!
Never been with a girl who was drunk.
Yeah.
That was you. Never been one who wasn't drunk.
Yeah, right.
That's you.
Yeah, it's me.
Yeah, that's you. See?
Why else would they be with me?
There you go.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Stephanie? It's an interesting angle, though. I like that angle. Let me try that
one. It's not an angle.
It's a good angle.
It's not an angle.
Keep that
one. It isn't an angle.
Stephanie?
Hi, Steph.
Yep.
You're, what are you? Drew, turn that screen
down.
She's
a woman.
I can't see.
No,
she's 18.
I'm an 18 bisexual female.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Do you need to say female if you're bisexual anymore? I mean, is that point? Is
I
it
hope,
not?
I hope so.
Okay. Probably doesn't matter, yeah. So what's up?
Okay, I've been bisexual since I was 10. Well, I've known it since I was 10.
Yeah,
but usually I'm with girls that are my close friends, you know.
How did you know you were bisexual at 10?
Well, I didn't really know what bisexual was, but, like, we'd play Truth or Dare when I spend the night over at their house. And
you're a heroin addict.
Drew, please.
And what would happen?
Like, you know, you'd do the stupid dares, and then you'd get to, well, I dare you to kiss a teddy bear, and then, oh, I dare you to kiss me. Or you'd play house, and what was the mom and what was the dad? You know.
How old were you when that was happening?
I don't know, 10, 11, maybe.
Did something weird happen to you when you were like 6, 7?
Nope. Stuff happened after that.
What happened?
I was raped when I was 13, but nothing before that.
Raped at 13?
Were you physically abused before that?
No. Yes. Well,
yes.
Sort of.
Yes, physically abused before that.
Sort of? What's sort of?
I grew up with an abusive father.
There you go.
All right.
Bingo.
So your antenna got a little bit bent.
Mm-hmm.
But now, what's the problem?
Nothing's the problem. Now I'm a dancer for, like, the last 4 months, so I tend to meet a lot of bisexual girls
mm-hmm.
that I don't know.
You're a stripper?
No, I'm a dancer.
Okay.
I wear lingerie, and I give lap dances.
All right. Let's call that a stripper. What kind of place do you wear lingerie and just do lap dances at?
A bar.
At a bar. But are there people up on stage dancing?
No, you just sit in a chair, and you give them a lap dance.
So she never actually strips. She's in those clothes the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah, and we have to wear nylons.
You have to wear nylons. Oh, that's attractive.
Right. And and but guys are still, you're still rubbing on erect penises, right?
Right.
Through jeans, which is irritating, I would imagine.
No, I always wear sweats when I, you probably haven't been
why,
one of those
that's
places.
That's why the nylon top.
I get drunk, I get the ladies drunk, and I wear my sweatpants with no underpants.
No underpants.
No. Adidas running pants. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
What's that, Stephanie?
I love the squishy pants.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, geez, I want to know what kind of place this is, by the way. I've never been to a strip club that didn't have strippers, just
what
dancers.
What part of the country are you in?
Illinois.
All right.
Oh, yeah, all right.
It's rural.
A small town bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rural area.
So what's the problem?
Small,
what's
the question?
Question is, because these girls I don't know, how am I supposed to know if they're hoochie mamas? You know, I don't care. I don't want a relationship with them. I just want to have sex with them. So I just, like, is there protection out there for girls? You know?
Well, there's latex barriers. You can create a dental dam, right?
They have
right.
dental dams.
Where do you get those at, though, and how would you bring you know that what? Up to the girl without being a bitch, basically?
You don't bring
Sorry.
It. Well,
Sorry.
You mean you don't want her touching you without you having a dental dam down there, right?
Well, she doesn't want to touch a girl.
Right. I don't want to get no diseases. That's
I know.
I'm
I understand. So take a regular condom, like a regular dry condom, and cut the top off it so you have a tube. And then cut along the tube so you can roll the tube apart. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You get a sheet out of it.
Also, if you take 5/8 PVC pipe, I've found, and go ahead and heat that up using a butane torch.
Wrap yourself
flatten that
saran
out.
Wrap.
Put that across
that
the
That works as well. Kind of like leftovers.
Dip your tongue in paraffin. That's a nice way to...
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie, why don't you focus on having a relationship?
Yeah.
I have a relationship. I've been with the same guy for 4 years.
Okay. Well, why don't you focus on not acting out so much? I know you've been through a lot. Yes, that's all you do.
Home,
listen to me, screwball. Somebody got to you early. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for what they did to you, but they screwed you up, and now you got a life of acting out ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be your life. And it's kind of cool when you're 18, but it gets ugly as the years wear
you're spending,
on.
You're spending time, you're going to these women, you know, or you're wanting to experience women, probably to avoid the fear of intimacy with a man because of what your dad did. So it's not really a hypersexual feeling. It's just fun. And it means nothing.
All right.
Right.
Yeah, but good times. I don't have any kids.
Yeah, with these women, because they're broken too. No, what do you mean?
What about having kids?
She has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I have a fiance.
You have a fiance. Better yet.
Four years.
Even better. How old is he?
How old was he when I met him?
How old is he now?
23.
And what does he do for a living?
Works at a warehouse.
Works in a warehouse. Mm-hmm. All right. He works at a warehouse. You work at a whorehouse. It's all good, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sounds like a delightful guy who was, 19 when you were 14?
19 when I was 16.
Mm-hmm. You've been with him for 4 years?
He lost his virginity to me.
He's 23 now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing some math here. I don't see how you were...
I'll be 19 in May and he'll be 23 in June. Or 24 in June.
Stephanie, all that bravado and stuff is not going to serve you well.
All right. This is all the show comes down to for me, which is...
Don't get pregnant.
These poor people...
Don't get pregnant.
Well, no, here's...
Don't breed.
Here's the steps. Here's the thought process. The first process is, I want to kill your dad. I can't believe what he did to you.
Right.
That is so horrible.
The next thought is...
I want to kill you.
Because you're annoying me.
You're annoying me.
You're serving no one.
Your life doesn't...
Yeah.
The third one is, let's give her some help. Let's see what we can do. The fourth one is...
Don't get pregnant.
Don't get pregnant.
Right. We can't actually help you. Yeah. So just don't make any more problem you.
Well, don't keep the cycle going.
You're 18, and God willing, 8 years from now, you may see some light and do some therapy and read a few books, and there may be time for you yet, but not now. Don't get pregnant.
Part of the reason not now, you guys, is that this is working for her now.
Yeah, it serves her.
This works now. Now it feels good. It is exciting. And you can't talk people out of that because it does work for them. It's working in a...
And there's no alternative.
Well, there are alternatives, but they can't see them.
No.
And it's too painful to go down those paths. So the pathology just rolls
what
until
I mean
it hits
is,
a crisis
yeah.
and then doesn't work anymore.
What it's I mean like, is she like lives in a little rural town in Illinois and, you know, that kind of thing. There's just no options around you.
Yeah.
So you're just out of boredom. You create kind of self-generated mild psychoses that will just keep your life full of drama so you never accomplish anything.
Sidebar.
Sorry.
Yeah,
this kid's telling us a lot about himself.
Getting pretty cathartic
yes,
here.
Indeed it is. I'm a little frightened here.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. All right. You're making him nervous.
Okay, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. No
yeah,
one
left for a reason.
Nope.
Man.
No.
Nobody's saying.
It's fine.
Keep your hands where you can see them. Diana.
Hi.
You're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just wanted to say that two things. One, I called you guys 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And you gave me awesome advice that I totally didn't listen to, and I really should have.
Oh, good. What did we tell you?
You told me I should have broken up with my boyfriend and not be friends with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We give advice like that a lot that people don't follow.
I know, and they really should.
And what happened? You stayed with him for a while
longer? No, we broke up when we got to college, but things just got really bad.
They tried to be friends. They kept sleeping together.
Yeah, kind of.
Right.
For a while.
All right. So now you're going to listen to us.
Yeah. I just started using the NuvaRing. And you know what that is, right?
The cervical? It's inserted with estrogen? Yeah.
Yeah. So it says that you're supposed to put it in when you first get your period. So can you use a tampon with that?
You know, I have no experience with this. I would imagine, right? It doesn't seem like it would be a very popular product if you couldn't continue your usual hygiene. And they certainly would have gone out of their way to tell you.
Right.
And so, what is it called? A NuvaRing?
NuvaRing. Yeah.
NuvaRing.
NuvA.
Is that like new ring? And they
no, it's just a reuse for braces, rubber bands that they're just remarketing,
repackaging those.
so you can seal up your service with it. No,
they dip them in some hormone and then just shoot them up there with a blowgun.
Exactly.
Does it hurt? Yeah, how do you get it up in there?
You bend it and put it in.
And it just sort of snaps into place.
Kinda. It just kind of sits in there like a tampon does.
And why do you got to put it up there during your period? That seemed like a bad time to apply the NuvaRing.
That's what I thought, too. I don't know.
Probably the beginning, the cycle.
I guess.
Medicating you during that part of the cycle.
I don't have an answer for that.
All right. So you put it... I mean, I think it's probably to give you a jumping off point. Like, hey, this is when we put it in. So 6 months from now, when your period starts, that's when it needs to be taken out or something like that.
Yeah, and they could have said when it ends, though.
How long are you supposed to keep it
first,
in?
You know, with most of it, it's the first Monday after your period starts. That kind of stuff. This is right when it starts.
Say
what's
again?
That?
How long?
You leave it in for 21 days.
Right. So it's the...
It's birth control.
Like
right.
It's like the patch.
The downtime. Right.
Hey, good times.
I say go for it, and if, you know...
Can you feel it up
watch
there
for it.
When you're walking around and stuff?
No? How about during intercourse?
I just put it in today for the first time.
Okay. All right.
That's
so
great.
I haven't tried it yet.
Nope.
Good time.
Yeah, seems like you get the tampon in there. But the tampon comes shooting out like a torpedo and sticks into someone's thigh.
Ask your doctor.
Yeah.
Ask
it. Well, it doesn't make much sense that they would create this product without it being able to be used with a tampon.
Unless they're assuming that during those days you would use a pad now because of something.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't develop something like that. And they would have gone out of their way to tell her. They would have said, do not.
Right. Yeah, right. That's true.
All right. You guys,
break time. Mm-hmm. Break time.
Yeah. Hal knows a lot about pads. Yeah.
It's true.
Doesn't know much about boozing or loving, but he knows about them pads.
Did you have a bunch of sisters?
No, I have one.
One sister.
Yeah.
All right. Hal Sparks is here from Queer as Folk. We'll take some
Thank
quick
you.
Break.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hal Sparks is our guest tonight.
Hola.
Queer as Folk is the name of his show on HBO Sunday
Showtime.
Nights.
Showtime. Oh yes, very
Showtime.
Important.
Sorry.
They whipped that into me.
Kind of underline that. And then
Unacceptable
High Def on Tuesday nights.
Yep.
For all you
Sunday
high
nights
def
at
fans
10,
out
yeah.
there. And tomorrow night, race car driver Paul Tracy will be in here, and he's
what?
Doing the Long Beach Grand Prix, and I'm doing that celebrity race, so we'll have that to talk about tomorrow night. All right, so let's, I think that was that was a stock car. That was a V8. That was American Pushrod V8 there.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. let's get back to the phones and speak to Stephanie, who's 20. Stephanie? What's up?
I have kind of concern about when I have sex. It'll sometimes really, really hurt, and like just above like the pubic triangle. And I know this sounds weird, but it's the only way I can think to describe it. It feels like his penis is like poking me.
I'll tell you that pubic triangle is
very dangerous.
Dangerous compasses spinning
spin
around.
Electrical systems
lost.
Going.
Aircraft.
Oh, they're on a training flight in the 40s. They lost five American aircraft.
Yeah, the Philadelphia
there.
Experiment was based on the pubic triangle.
Yeah.
Sorry, we needed to do that. So, is it his shape?
Well, wait. Now let's get clear where we're talking about. Are you talking about up in your abdomen? You feel like there's
No, up front. I don't know. It's just like when he's going in, it just. This only happens once in a while. It's not like a...
Do you feel like you're tearing?
No, it just feels like something's poking it, like it's hitting. Like
hitting her cervix.
Yeah, does it happen when he starts too fast, like without enough foreplay, that kind of thing?
No, it's just kind of a random thing. It'll do it, and it's just...
Are you talking about where your pubic bone is? It hurts?
No, it's just like right, more like around the pubic hair, that whole area.
That area?
Yeah.
Up in the underside.
Up high?
Yeah. Cubic triangle, it's an arc.
Inside, though, right. Way deep inside.
Yeah, inside.
Yeah, that's fine. He is poking something in there. There's your uterus, your cervix.
It's not a bottomless pit. It actually does have... It
has an end.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like sometimes it does, and sometimes...
All right, have you had a pelvic exam recently?
No, not recently.
Have they ever told you you had a flip-tipped uterus?
Uh-uh.
Okay, I suspect that may be what's going on
what's
here.
What's that?
It's just the uterus kind of flips around. It's sort of floppy, and when you straighten it out by putting a penis in there... flips back into position, it can feel kind of uncomfortable. You can have other things like ovarian cyst and endometriosis and other things that need to be checked out are all treatable and benign.
Mm-hmm.
But you're sexually active. It's time to get your health care maintained, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your position, too.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we'll do a lot of different positions and it'll still just kind of...
Does it happen like in all the positions when you do that, or do you move around till you find one that doesn't hurt?
No, when it happens, it'll happen in all.
Okay. All right. There's a guy a little aggressive.
He can be.
Uh-huh.
You gotta slow him down a little.
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't it?
It's life.
I recognize if you're in an airplane bathroom, there's not a lot you can do. But
whenever it happens, he'll stop immediately and stuff.
All right. But good. Yeah, listen, this is a sign that you need to get your health maintenance taken care of and see have regular pelvic exams, okay?
Okay.
What do you use for birth control?
Condoms.
All right.
Getting on the pill, the shot here before too long.
Good times.
Yeah, but get on it sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it at the end of the summer because I'm going home for the summer.
Okay, because I don't trust the condom thing with the couples that are going at it every day.
Keep the morning after pill handy in the meantime. Please, Stephanie.
All right, let's talk to Tracy, who's 20. Tracy?
Hey.
What's up?
I had a question for you guys. I have never had an orgasm during sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very common. I mean, during intercourse.
Right.
That's most women your age, that would fit.
Every single one of them, no matter what the age.
Well, certainly at 20, it's very common.
Well, you know what? When they're sober, you'd be amazed at what they can do, Adam.
That's the Corolla man.
Yeah, but that's a catch-22. How do you get to have sex with them? Tracy?
Uh-huh.
Sit-ups.
You've had an orgasm during oral sex?
No.
Ooh,
no.
So you've never had an orgasm?
No,
not,
she can have
anybody besides myself.
Right. She can have it on her own.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
And you have a steady boyfriend?
Yes. Three and a half years.
He's doing all the right things?
From what I know.
Why do you ever do what you do to yourself and show him, that kind of thing?
Yeah, he knows that I don't. I mean, we talk about it and stuff. He knows.
No. Do you ever show him what you do?
Right. Yeah, I have, and it doesn't work.
Ooh. Can he do exactly what you're doing? I mean, with you? You know, are you using, what I'm asking is, are you doing it just manually, or are you using a device?
No, it's manually.
Okay, all right. So can you put his hand where your hand is and walk him through it?
Why don't you put your hand where your hand is and let him have sex with you while your hand is where your hand is?
You can help yourself along, that's true. Do you do that?
No, I've never tried that.
Do that.
That would make sense,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the other thing is literally...
Does that just not define, again, the difference between men and women?
Yeah, it just doesn't show.
I mean, it never occurred to me to have an orgasm. You know, guys, like, they don't take their hand away from that area.
Well, yeah, well, you almost can't help it, though. We have, you know, orgasm under duress. You're like, you know, you wake up with an accidental one, you know.
Even if you had a penis that was a half an inch long, you'd still be.
Don't make fun of Adam right in front of me.
Holding the fingers.
I didn't say like Adam. I just said even if one had one.
Tracy, why don't you rub your bean there while he's having sex with you?
Yeah, help him along.
Am I always gonna have to do that though?
No.
Who knows? Just do it, would you?
No, I don't think you will. This is Hal talking.
Don't even answer. Are we Kreskin over here? Just rub yourself and let him hump you. Let's move on. Please. Ooh, always going to have to do?
Well, she's curious.
I don't think so. What do we know?
It's funny. Like, she's afraid she's going to open Pandora's box and get into something here that's literally Pandora's box.
Right.
She doesn't understand it.
Tracy's...
Women feel defective when they can't, you know, a lot of times.
But
you know?
most women do not have orgasm during intercourse ever. Most women.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
No, that's true. That's statistically true.
Okay. Right. Most ever? I mean, what about when
this statistic was taken.
What about when they hit 40?
Well, maybe I shouldn't say ever. Most rarely are able to have it during intercourse, if ever.
Well, that sounds like the
men's
fault.
Rarely, if ever. No, it's just they're able to have it during oral sex. They're able to have it with, like you're advising Tracy, but just with intercourse, that doesn't happen.
All right.
I'll tell you about that later off the air.
Mm, that's true.
Kelsey?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I'm calling because I have a concern about my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He, I guess, is an alcoholic, but he's been sober for at least 25 years. I think he quit drinking before I was born.
He's been sober or abstinent? He's in a program. He has a sponsor. He's going to meetings.
Well, I don't know. I know that he went to AA in the beginning.
All right.
I don't know. He, I guess, hasn't really shared that much about it. He's always talked to my sisters and I about that it's in the family and, you know, just been real open with us about our habits and stuff like that. But I guess recently in the past couple years, like at my sister's wedding, he drank and he's had alcohol maybe 3 or 4 times.
Well, what was he like when he drank?
Is your father the president just by...
No.
Sorry. Go ahead.
What was he like?
Yeah.
Well, the last time was this summer, and he was drinking champagne, and I guess he wasn't out of control or anything. He was under control, you know, kind of just jovial, right. And his face got a little red. But
right.
Well,
I was just wondering, you know, if that's okay or if that's possible for someone who's, you know, been sober for so long to
have control drinking again?
Yeah.
What about that, Trevor?
It is for a while. He will be able to control it for a while, and then it will suddenly explode out of control again. And
Neither do we.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That is in the biology. That is well established. It is a mechanism. Basically, the reward apparatus of what's something called the ventral tegmental area and the nucleus accumbens alter permanently in the genetically prone individual. And while the drive from that region of the brain may not be as powerful years and years later. Mm-hmm. Once you reactivate that chemistry, it's in absolutely categorically the case, mathematically, that you will once again begin progressing, and the progression will be rather rapid at a certain point.
But this
is a mathematically predictable disease.
Listen, no one knows booze like hell over here. Has never had a goddamn drink in his life.
Yeah, just because I don't have them doesn't mean I haven't seen it.
He may control it for quite a while. But as long as he has a relationship with it, it will eventually, that biology will kick in.
Let me say this, Drew. What if, this must happen on occasion, somebody decides to stop drinking who may not have been out of control or could have controlled it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, maybe. So if somebody stopped drinking before they cross the threshold where the switch, so to speak, is thrown, they would not necessarily go out of control again. No.
That's what I'm wondering, too, because he was, I think, 25 or 26 when he quit.
But that doesn't matter.
No, I know.
It had a lot to do with my mom wanting him.
A lot of the research being done right now is on peri-adolescent alcohol exposure, and that if he had exposure
when he was young,
prior to adulthood, even though it may not have been completely out of control in adulthood, the switch is basically thrown that way, too.
So
the fact that he needed AA to stop suggests that he couldn't stop on his own. And the thing with addiction is you can either stop or you can't. And if you can, go ahead and stop. If you can't, you're addicted, and that means the switch is thrown.
What would make him drink again? I mean,
it's a wonderful feeling for him.
It's also a socializing factor, because a lot of times you can feel left out, I would imagine, you know, especially if you got used to it.
Talk to alcoholics. I mean, I run a huge recovery program, so I talk to them all day long, and alcohol is something that forever is a wonderful feeling for them. And you take they want to believe they're normal again. It's been so many years, and they test it, and they can kind of control it for a while, so why should I restrict myself from this thing?
Him,
so important.
Let him do it till he spins out, and then he gets sober again.
You can all have an intervention, and it'll bring you all closer together as a family.
I think Kelsey needs to let her mom deal with this a little more.
She also needs to talk to her dad about it, too. If it's concerning her, talk to him.
Yeah.
Sit down. I mean, you know, if it's been 25 years, and he stopped on his own a long time ago, supposedly he's been sober all that time. Was there AA around 25 years ago? Pardon my ignorance. I guess so, mid-70s, so...
Take his lampshade off and sit down and talk to him about it. Full old booze humor there for you. Hell, you don't know because you don't know. You don't know.
Why do those lampshades always have to have little like
tassels
frilly
around
tassels
the edges?
Around
yeah.
the end? What is that?
They're sort of like Shriners.
Because the rest
lampshades.
Of them don't look good with your outfit. That's the truth. If I've been on Queer Folk long enough to learn one thing, it's that
Patrick.
Yeah.
You're 14.
Yeah.
You have gay friends.
Yeah.
You want to know what makes them gay?
Yeah.
Are you gay?
No.
How many gay friends do you have?
Like two or three.
Are they your age?
Yeah, some of them.
Are they out?
No, not really.
Do they talk about the fact that they're gay?
Yeah.
He doesn't know what out means.
Oh.
Do you ever have any homosexual feelings yourself?
No.
All right.
Are they out with you but not with their parents?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a difference.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so what's your question? You want to know what makes them gay?
Yeah.
Genetics.
We've found a mixture on this show. Some people are just gay as soon as they hit the floor of the operating room. And the other ones are fiddled with by their uncles, and it kind of bends their antenna a little bit. But either way, they're gay.
Or their aunts or their moms. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's Adam's favorite theory.
I'm trying to think. Yeah.
I mean messed with emotionally, therefore they don't feel safe with a woman, so they find
sexual
satisfaction.
Okay, there's three gays.
Categories, right.
That one is, I'm gay.
Born 6 years old, you can look at him and tell almost by bone structure or something. You can just go, this kid's going to be gay when he grows up. That's pretty obvious.
I do believe that a certain percentage of the animal kingdom, and ourselves included, aren't supposed to reproduce.
Yeah, makes sense.
Some people are born just sterile. Some people have the inability to reproduce, and a certain percentage will be gay and not have to worry about repopulating the planet.
Absolutely.
So I think it's one of those sort of nature's plans. So certain amount are gay, right out of the chute. The second group was molested or sexually screwed with, and then the third group just had a Jewish mom who just never stopped pounding on them, and they got so tired of women they never want to see another one again.
Right.
Either way,
ashamed of yourself.
They're all just as gay. As a matter of fact, the guys who got turned gay sometimes are a little gayer because there's more energy involved with that than there is in the guys that are just sort of born.
The other ones will fight it their whole lives and not even, they'll be self-hating in a lot of ways to deal with it. You know, it doesn't quite matter, ultimately, the source of it. Are you afraid it's contagious? Is that worrying you at all? Okay.
You're just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can get it from tongue kissing them, though. Oh, yes, that happens.
Is that how you got it?
Wasn't tongue kissing. Bung kissing, Drew.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I didn't know.
On that issue, I think I've been on the front lines.
Didn't know.
Doesn't happen
didn't
that
way.
You know, you could get it that way.
Didn't know you could get the gay that way.
You didn't know you were dumb bung kissing.
I thought it was innocent heterosexual bung kissing.
That was Santa Claus.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
That was years ago. Well, weeks ago.
Go out camping. You got to earn your space in the tent right there, right, Adam?
That's right. You're making some s'mores. All right, so Patrick.
Yeah.
We're going to take a commercial. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
They're fine.
All right.
All right?
Okay.
All right.
It's not a sin. The devil isn't after you.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah, well, you're not gay. You're just aiding and abetting the gays.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That's a much lighter sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right there, buddy. Hal Sparks is our guest tonight from Queer as Folk. Showtime, everybody. Sunday nights and then High Def on Tuesday nights. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Adam's looking for tires for me.
Yeah. I'm Al Sparks. I'll be filling in, making the unproductive, wise-ass comments.
We'll be the new team here on Loveline.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Adam will guest occasionally. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
What are you going to do?
Well, we have a cyber Adam who sits in once in a while.
So I think I've got the Adam thing down. Don't get pregnant. Yeah.
Don't get pregnant. And?
What are you going to do?
He's a big boy.
Yeah.
What else? That's why I make the big bucks. That's why you make the big bucks.
A couple more?
Good times. Nice. Hey, it takes all kinds.
There you go. That's Adam.
Adam Headroom.
Adam Headroom. There you go. This now is a Brandon who's 19.
Hello.
Hey.
Brandon.
Yeah, I was wondering how you're supposed to know if a girl's really having an orgasm. I listen every other night when I can, and it seems to come up quite often that you say girls don't have orgasms when they're around like 18, 17, 18. I was wondering how you're supposed to know if that's true, if they're lying to you or not.
Well, I think Adam was saying it's a mathematical improbability that they have it during intercourse during that period.
Yeah,
that most, but it's not that they can't, and it's certainly
That's why I make the big bucks.
It depends a lot on the. Are you talking about somebody you're with?
Yeah.
I've
been in two serious relationships, and I've confronted them both, but.
What are you going to do?
They say it's true.
They say what's true.
They are
orgasming.
That's right. That's fine. You've got to
take it at face value. Here's the other thing. If she can't be honest, she doesn't deserve an orgasm. No. Honestly, though.
You can't tell, really. Women have contractions of the vagina during orgasm. You might notice that. But then they can fake that, too, even if they're really clever.
He's a big boy.
I've noticed the contractions and... sometimes they're a little bit more lubricated than others.
Good times.
Yeah. Then they're having orgasm during sex?
Yeah.
Two of them. Wow.
See, hey, it takes all
that's
kinds.
Good.
It does indeed.
No. Take them on face value. If for some reason, you know, you suspect that it's not true, you know, that's more about trust in the relationship, too. If she thinks she has to lie to you to keep you happy, that's going to show up in other places.
And by the way, just because we say most women don't have orgasms or intercourse, there's still tens of millions of women that do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're talking about a giant population. We're sort of dividing it into most and, you know, versus all. And
what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, if they're
gonna
do. Right.
And it's just that in the 18 to 22 range is when they start to be able to have orgasm at all during sexual encounters or where things like masturbation start to sort of make sense.
And then it also goes away during a time, and then it'll come back when they're 30 to 33, where you can almost not stop them.
All right, well, a little virtual Adam there.
It was good. You were good.
Yeah. It was funny,
you're,
right?
You're funny and useful, and that's why you make the big bucks.
All right. I'm going to move forward with a real Adam here. Danny?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Me and my girlfriend been doing it for like the past 3 months, and like we've done it like 30 times.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've only gotten off once, like the very first time.
Mm-hmm. The very first time, and then 29 without.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, dude.
All right, dude.
You get aroused. You have sex for a long time. You don't ejaculate.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a non-ejaculator. It's panic.
How long do you have sex for?
For like 30, 45 minutes.
Right.
Do you wear a condom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you finish?
Huh?
How do you know you're done?
Yeah, how do you know you're done?
She gets done.
Yeah, she says no more.
She gets done.
Mm-hmm. Right. Once she's done, it's over?
After her vagina gets tuckered?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, some women get this way, and
some women, some men.
Some men. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. And some men, it's that way their whole life, where it's a problem to have ejaculation. Some of those guys.
I've had sex like a lot of times, but I've gotten off, but it's like.
With her, it's different.
Yeah, I don't know. And I felt my nuts the other day, and there was a lump on it, and I don't know. It was like
you don't know.
Wait, was that immediately after?
No.
A long period? No.
All right, so...
Hold on a second. Let me talk to Danny for a second here. You've had sex with many other women?
Well, four people I've had... Because, this one chick, she used to live with me, and I did her, like...
Yeah, that was your sister, right?
Huh?
Your sister?
No, dude.
No, okay. No. Stepsister. stepmom, possibly. So, here's the thing. You've had sex now 29 times without having an ejaculation.
Yeah.
I think there's a problem here.
But
quiet and listen.
He's postulating that maybe it's not the girl. Maybe something has changed in him.
Yeah, because, if I had nut cancer, would it, stop me from getting off?
Well, not necessarily.
No, and what about masturbation?
I haven't done that in a while.
You just hump for 45 minutes, don't have an orgasm, and go home and go to bed?
Yeah.
Is there an ice pack involved?
Really? You're not. You haven't masturbated in months?
Really?
Masturbate.
Right, and that's a change for you, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Are you on any medication?
No, I was on medication for like a year or two, but then...
For what?
For depression and bipolar.
What medicine were you taking?
I took Tegretol, Remeron, Depakote, Seroquel, and some other thing.
Are you smoking a lot of pot now?
No, I haven't. Wait.
You doing? Wait.
Let me check my mouth. Wait a minute. They're smoking
right.
it.
Right.
Are you doing any other drugs?
Well, what's it called?
Cocaine.
Corsedin. Yeah, you know, Corsedin, cold and cough.
Yeah, the robo-tripping.
Yeah, dude. The other day I took 32.
And are you doing that regularly?
No, I did it. Well, I've done it in the past 2 weeks, I've done it five times.
You said you took 32 the other day?
Yeah.
32 ounces or?
Tablets.
Pills.
Oh, they're in the pill form.
Yeah, tablets. Yeah.
Okay, well, see, Danny, a couple of things. First off, this is the least of your worries. I mean, you took 32 of those pills. Yeah. You're 16 years old, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, knock it off.
And it's scrambling you. I mean, you're not tracking as clearly as we'd like you to track.
It could be your drug use that's screwing up your sex drive, too. However.
Also, you got to be high not to beat off after having sex 29 times and not going home and smacking yourself around.
Are you exaggerating, too? Has it been? Okay.
Yeah, and the males in the room can't process
comprehend
this. It's impossible. How could this be?
Let's focus on the drugs here, I think.
Yeah, you need a medical evaluation because things like prolactin-secreting tumors or the pituitary gland problems can definitely shut you down sexually. So that's one possibility. I don't see where the bipolar medicines would have left you this way. Certainly you could have been this way while you're on the medicine. And now the illicit drugs you're doing, the bromocriptine, Corsedin, all this stuff, the robotropin.
32 pills.
That's a box, right? Is that a box?
Yeah.
Yeah, they take a box of them. That's what they do.
All right, Drew, you may not think that sounds like much, but that sounds like a lot of pills.
It's a tremendous, and it's potentially damaging, even the reason of their spinal cord.
And 16.
Yeah, and so that may be, if medically things are okay, it may really be the drug use that's damaging you.
But I'm just saying all bets are off, Danny. And Danny, you sound scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
And you need
you're not tracking normally.
Like not knowing what scrambled means.
That you have to think about what drug we were asking you about when you knew full well what you were taking. That,
yeah.
You know, that you smoked pot recently, but you couldn't remember when.
Do you do PCP?
No.
No, okay.
All right, but Danny, you're 16. You need your brain for later.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't plan on being an eye surgeon, it doesn't matter. You're still going to want your brain for things like
conversation. I'm worried about all these people listening that think that
your mood and your all that bipolarity and stuff, maybe all the drug use.
All right. Well, that's good times.
Yeah, good times.
We're going to take...
It takes all the time.
I'm really worried about the people who are listening or thinking that if they take a box of Robitussin, they can have sex 29 times for that.
No. That's like, not a reliable...
I can go and go and go. No, it doesn't work that way, just for the record.
No, I'm beating off after long sexual... Okay.
It's the dextromethorphan that causes these hallucinogenic experiences, and it's bad news.
Hal Sparks is our guest tonight from Queers Folk. Showtime. We'll take ourselves a little break. I'll yell at Drew about his car tires, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Hal Sparks is our guest tonight. Queer Folk. Showtime, Sunday nights, and then again on Tuesday in high definition. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Paul Tracy, the race car driver, is going to be in here tomorrow night. He's going to be racing down at the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach this weekend, and we'll talk to him about that tomorrow night. All right, let's go back to the phone, speak to Jessica, who's 14. Jessica?
Yes, I live in Orlando, and I was recently, I just moved here from Tampa, Florida. And I live upstairs from a 17-year-old, and I met her one day, and, like, we started hanging out and stuff. Like, I started meeting, like, older friends, and, like, I hang out. We smoke pot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She's bisexual, and, like, I don't know, like, I never, like, had thought of being with a girl or something until I met her, and, like, I don't know, I think I have, like, feelings or something, like, when I'm around her and stuff.
Well, that's fine, but it sounds like overall you're all over the place, Jessica.
You sound hesitant, too. You sound like your first reaction isn't... a strong one in that direction, though.
Yeah, my life's been kind of, like, weird. I don't know.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. My dad went to prison when I was, like, 7.
Why? For molesting her, Jessica?
For possession of heroin and,
okay,
I don't know.
So you're dealing with heroin addicts around you grew up around.
My mom's recently been on crack. I was living with her.
Any of their weird friends mess with you or anything?
Actually, no. I've never been sexually abused.
So just the chaos of being around addiction.
The chaos, yeah.
And who are you living with now?
My dad.
How
he got out of prison last April.
Is he in recovery now?
He's doing great, actually. He knows that I smoke pot,
uh-oh,
and like he accepts it because of what I've been through, and like he's like he doesn't do it, and he's been going to his probation officer and stuff, and he's been doing pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that he knows you smoke pot and is sort of okay with it.
Well, sometimes recovering people just start to throw up their hands and go, oh, I can't, this kid went through a lot.
I can't
talk you out of it because where I came from.
So. I can't pass judgment because you know where I've been, but I don't think that's being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's new to that part. How long was he away?
I don't accept him. And my mom is, she just recently got out of jail from coke. She was messed up and stuff.
All right.
Like, but Jessica, do you want to go down that path too?
Huh?
Do you want to go down that path too?
No. Definitely no.
Well, you're heading down.
Yeah, that's where you're going.
You're
right
moving.
Now.
And oftentimes sexual acting out of all types is really part of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for women, usually a lot of this comes in through the path of love and intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
You get this girl and you feel this feelings and this connection with her, and that turns into a sexual feeling and an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
That's compulsive. That's trying to escape other feelings.
It's not a genuine sexual impulse.
It's not a real relationship.
She's in the same apartment complex as you are?
Yeah.
And you said you don't accept your dad?
I don't accept my dad at all. Like, I'm really mean to him. Like, I cuss him out and stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. We always get in arguments.
He's probably dying to go back to prison.
Yeah,
a 14-year-old pissed off teenager
smoking pot, and
he just gets on my nerves, like to the point, like I just wish he would die. Like,
Well, that's nice. But listen, Jessica, your dad's been through a lot. He's allegedly served his debt to society. He's out now. He's staying on keeping his nose clean, as we used to say back in the day.
That's what my counselor's telling me.
And he's trying, and I understand you're angry about the past, and you should be. But it's not going to help your situation at all to start getting in up in his face and causing friction with him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, I mean, not for him, he doesn't deserve it, but for you, do you think you could just sort of make things nice at home and not get into it with him and not chase the lesbian 17-year-old that lives above you and smoke all the weed and do all that stuff?
Yeah, and recently I did ecstasy.
All right. Well, that's more like it. That's what I'm talking about.
Two weekends ago, but recently my eyes, every time I try to study something, they go back and forth really fast.
Okay.
And it's really weird.
Well, that's not good.
What are you studying? The Torah?
Huh?
No. I just had a feeling she was Jewish. It sounded like, and Drew, I know you're thinking the same thing.
You need to do an about face. You need to stop staring at this life arrangement and thinking this is all there is in the world, and you need to take a big glance around at the rest of life around you and give that a shot. Because you're headed in the exact same direction your mom and your dad went in. You don't want to have a kid who hates you the way you're hating your dad, right?
Yeah, definitely not.
Okay, so you got to go the exact opposite direction. If you're leaning towards this way, just give your life a shot in the other way. Just, you know, try it on for 6 months, not smoking the pot, not getting involved with this girl. You know what I'm saying?
Since I've been doing drugs, I've been to school down here in 45 days, and I've missed 25 days.
Yeah, see, that's saying, it's just habitual stuff. You think this is all there is. Mm-hmm. You think this is all there is in your life, right? You're just used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a lot of assumptions based on your past experience, and you just need to turn it around. You need to look at the rest of the world and go, you know what, the rest of the world isn't screwed up like this.
You don't need
this friend. You don't need the drugs. You don't need any of that stuff. You need to just find out who you are and grow up.
Yeah, how about finding Jesus Christ?
I'm not saying that at all.
He's in Florida.
Yeah, in prison,
he's
actually.
He's in prison and in Florida.
Some advice we haven't given for in a while is to behave as if.
As if your parents
weren't junkies and as if you weren't living in a crappy apartment in Florida. And just try to pull yourself up out of that mire.
This isn't all there is. This girl isn't the only friend options you have around. You're focused on it because that's what you're used to. But I bet there's other people in your same apartment building that aren't like that?
No. Let me make this point, actually, because I've seen this with my friends. And
what?
Well, here's what happens. Families break up.
Yeah.
People don't have money to buy houses in the suburbs, and they end up moving into these apartments. And these apartments, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with the apartment. The apartment is filled with a bunch of people like themselves, single parents with teenage kids that had some difficulty. And now, you know, let's face it, anybody who's, you know, in their mid-40s who's living in a, you know, one-bedroom or two-bedroom apartment paying $650 a month in Florida, life hasn't exactly worked out the way they'd planned, and their kids probably have gone through a lot, seen a lot, just like Jessica here. Now they're in a complex with a bunch of people like themselves.
Right. Same economic disadvantage,
right.
Same problem.
The parents in the same background. The parents get up and go to work in the morning, they're gone, and now you got nothing but the 17-year-old who lives upstairs and a couple of the screwed-up kids who live across the way, and everyone wants to hang out, smoke weed, and cut school. This becomes, and then everyone starts boning each other. God damn, I missed out on that. Stupid dad, I'm going to kick him in the nuts for buying that house.
Your dad wasn't screwed up enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. He was just screwed up enough to be screwed up.
Not enough
to damage you so that actually
been normal or so effed up that I could have got laid in high school.
There you go.
All right, so this is going to be tough for Jessica.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what we can tell her, and now we're getting back to don't get pregnant.
Yeah. Well, whatever. You're 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do an about face. Give it a shot.
What does that mean? I know what it means, but what does it mean to Jessica?
It means she needs to don't hang out with this girl every day. Go across town. Hang out someplace else. You know, take a look at her city and her school. When she is at school, join a different activity. Meet different friends.
Yes, I think she needs to find something.
The world is way bigger.
It's art or cheerleading or poetry or something that she gets involved with.
Yeah, she'll find a support group there.
Right.
Like other friends.
Right. Drew, let me just ask you this. I saw you look around. I had papers. You know what I did? Mm-hmm. They're outside.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just wanted to make sure where my sheets were.
Kleptomaniacal tendencies coming back through.
That was that little test I had you fill. Adam still hasn't done his. I was looking
very
for
telling.
It.
Yeah. Elizabeth?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say I love you guys, love your show.
Love you, baby doll.
But basically what the problem is like, when I was 14, my mom, she went in the hospital because she's an alcoholic. And so I was staying with my best friend and his family. And while I was there, his dad sexually assaulted me.
Your best friend's dad?
Yeah.
Who was a male?
Correct, yeah.
Your best friend's a male?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And so he sexually assaulted me, and now, like, you know, and I...
How many times?
Well, it was just over a period of, like, 3 or 4 months.
What, did he had sex with you multiple times?
Well, no, like, it wasn't sexual. It was more of just, like, the touching and more of a really psychological attachment kind of thing.
No, tell us more. What happened exactly?
Okay, well, basically, like, you know, he would just, like, I don't know, he would always put himself in a situation where he could, like, touch me or, you know, just be close to me or find any excuse for just, you know, holding my hand or caressing me or just, you know, just being, like, just overly friendly, you know, just really...
All right. Well, that may have creeped you out, but that's not molestation.
Maybe that was normal for that family. That's how they made someone feel welcome and loved.
Well, I don't know, it gave me, like... Well, it got, you know, worse to the point where he did, like, you know, touch me in places that were inappropriate, you know.
Like, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, like, basically just, you know, fondling and stuff like that.
Fondling,
like,
your breasts, or?
Yeah, and,
okay.
You know, like, he would come into my room, you know, I'd be asleep, he'd be like, oh, you know, time to wake up, and then, you know, just he would do that, and,
grab a boob when it was time to wake up?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now, like, I find it really difficult to have, like, a normal relationship.
How long ago was this?
It was 3 years ago.
And why were you living with your friend?
Because...
Mom was an alcoholic and went into the hospital.
And where was your dad?
Well, he's in Wisconsin, and I've never really lived with him, and because, like, he had an affair with my mom, and they had me, so he's never been around. He has his own family and stuff.
So you never met him, really?
Well, I've met him, and...
Were there other guys around when you were growing up?
No, not at all. It's my mom, me and my mom.
So you never got molested before this guy?
No, never.
Although this guy, although I don't necessarily like the cut of his jib,
right.
I don't know if I would technically call what he did to you sexual molestation.
Right.
But right now you're having trouble having relationships?
Yeah, but
it's not because of that.
It's not related to that.
No,
yeah.
It's because your dad abandoned you and your mom is an alcoholic. That's why you have trouble having a relationship.
And it might even be the guys that you're with.
The people you choose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the human condition that has to sort of pick something that wasn't really the culprit and then focus on that. It's somehow easier than it is.
That's because we're all kind of hip to psychology now, so we're all looking for what the root is a lot of times, too, you know?
But
I'm told there's got to be something.
I just mean it's easy what the something is. You have an alcoholic mom who was such a severe alcoholic, she had to be hospitalized, and you had a dad who you basically never met who abandoned you. This is why there's issues with your intimacy, not the good Samaritan who copped a feel 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, the wiring in your brain is being set up long before all that, although that can be traumatizing. The earlier... profound traumas have a tremendous residual effect on your brain wiring.
And if there's someone who needs to be blamed, blame dear old dad.
Oh,
ultimately,
Okay, good.
Oh,
so,
so
you got to deal with that stuff, and maybe you should be going to Al-Anon.
Well, I thought about that, but I'm not really, you know, into trying that. I mean, just because, I don't know.
Rather focus on the guy who didn't do anything to you?
Well... No, I just, you know, would rather move on. You know, I'm going to college in the fall, and
No, that's not, that is the, moving on is the instinct, and that's the other thing humans do, is just try to push things down and live, you know, they don't want to deal with the pain because they've bandaged it and compartmentalized it, but the fact is, big pieces of yourself get sacrificed to all those experiences, and that's not the right way to go ahead. Either get individual therapy or start going to Alateen and get a sponsor.
Go to college and Alateen.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and go to college, of course. But
you can do both.
Are you going away to school?
Wait a second. Let me get it back.
Are you going away to school?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It sounds like you've done pretty good considering where you're from.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like, I keep, you know, like, I've never done any alcohol or drugs or had sex or anything, so, I mean, that's
good.
Yeah. I just want want to, you know, just be able to go and meet a normal guy and not turn out like...
You're 17. You got plenty of time. Just don't be in a hurry. And do the Alateen thing.
Most 17-year-old guys aren't normal, per se.
You're going to find nice guys boring, and you're going to be intrigued and attracted to guys that are unavailable and dangerous.
And that's the half the fun of college.
But that's the problem. That's what you're left with, and you're not going to be able to have... You won't have relationships with guys that are really available.
Nicole?
Yes.
That's nice when you just sort of damn people.
Unless you do some work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes, I am.
Would you like Drew to damn you at the top of the call or wait till the end?
You're mathematically screwed. Your chances of being... No, go ahead.
It's time to start listening, goddammit. Where did that come from?
I'll tell you where it came from. Cyber Drew. From your past. Ooh. Came from your parents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
There it was.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Thought I dealt with that stuff.
Hi. Well, first of all, I wanted to say, Drew and Adam, love you guys. But
my moms and I,
we used to watch Queer as Folk religiously. It's great.
Wow, thanks. I don't know how I feel about that, but you and your mom have seen my butt at the same time. That's kind of interesting in its own
way. Well, they still watch it. I don't have cable anymore.
Oh, so. I understand.
But they love you.
Thanks. Back to you.
But I have a question about my husband and I have a mutual friend. And as of recently, he has started hitting on me a lot, like blatant hitting on me.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of want to, you know, broach the subject with him. But we don't want to push him away since...
Does your husband's aware of this?
Yes.
Does he do it in front of your husband?
He does it kind of around him, but not directly in front of him.
Is he single?
Actually, he's getting married in October, but the relationship isn't all that wonderful.
A guy that's behaving like an asshole and is disrespectful of you and your relationship and your marriage, why do you care if you push him away?
Because he's been friends with your husband for a long time?
Well, he's been a mutual friend.
Yeah, but who first, sir?
It would have been, well, we met him at the same time, actually.
Okay.
All right. Again, all you're risking is you're offending and or pushing away somebody who is being extremely inappropriate and, frankly, sort of,
how hard is he hitting on you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not really bad. It's just we kind of feel it might be because of his relationship.
What is he doing?
Well, definitely is.
Precisely, what's he doing?
I mean, you know.
Exactly what's he doing?
He says things to me about, you know, how he wants me, you know, different things like that.
Wants you what?
Like, in a sexual way.
All right. Do you guys all spend time together as couples?
We spend time with him, but his fiance is really abusive and is not a nice person, and so we try and tend to stay away from her.
Yeah. Does this guy drink?
No, he doesn't drink at all.
So he's doing all this sober.
Right.
And
he should be fearful that you're going to tell your husband. Now, did your husband find out because you told him?
Yeah, I came out and told him.
All right. And maybe your husband needs to talk to him. But I agree with Drew.
Yeah, what do you got to lose here? I mean, it's not like...
Right. And
he's not a friend.
Sounds like a jerk. He's not a friend.
Yeah,
get another friend.
And listen, everybody. I know this sounds cruel, but especially when you're 23, there's people we all knew at 23 we have not seen since. You know what I mean? And we're probably better off for it.
Part of life is cutting your boats. You know, like these people who have been dragging along with you for a time. They're not appropriate anymore.
Yeah.
You've outgrown them. They're stagnant.
That's all right, because it makes room for new people that have something to offer.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, maybe you guys ought to just do a little less socializing with the guy.
Yeah.
Give him the message.
Yeah. We've thought about that.
I mean, unless you want to dance.
I mean, it's just been...
You want to dance?
No.
You want to get into it?
No.
You don't?
It's weird because his relationship is getting worse.
Well, that's his problem.
He's going towards me.
Yeah, but
he's still getting married to her in August?
Unfortunately.
Well, how often? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I hear this all the time.
Who cares?
Everybody says they want to get themselves out of a situation, but
yet they magically don't.
They always want to dance.
Yeah.
The phone rings, they pick it up, the person wants to get together, and they get together.
Yes.
It's so easy to avoid people.
Yep.
You know, he calls, wants to know what's going on this weekend.
You got something else to do.
I agree. And Nicole, your role in this is a little suspect.
Well,
we've never done anything by ourselves.
See what I'm getting at here?
No, it's always the three of us.
I know, but first off, why are the three of? I mean, I understand he's a friend of yours, a friend of his, but you're married. He's got a relationship. Why spend so much time with the guy? Does your husband work with him?
Yeah, we actually all work together.
Oh, well, that's something you could have brought up. Yeah. So you guys have to see each other at work every day.
Pretty much.
What kind of work?
We work on the phones at a mobile phone company.
So you're going to see him in there every day when you go to work?
Yes.
Okay, well, now this merits a conversation.
Yeah, it changes things a little bit.
I'm glad I asked, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what needs to be done. Your husband, because you try to go for the least uncomfortable, most tactful angle the first time. I think your husband needs to pull him aside and say, Nicole's told me a couple of things, and I'm sure you're just screwing around. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it, but, you know, she was a little freaked out by it, and she thought
she's
it was something.
She's taking it more than
it's
what you mean.
It's getting uncomfortable. I appreciate it if you just tone that
down. No. See, Drew, don't have that conversation, because people don't want to have that conversation. They're not going to have it.
Oh, okay. So
you
one?
Play stupid. You say, you know the old lady. Yeah. She's a little sensitive. In the head, you know? But she did say something to me, and, you know, and I don't need her busting my balls. So she don't want me to say nothing.
If I don't talk to you, she's going to...
Yeah, I'm going to say something. And so I know you're just screwing around. I know how guys are. You're just playing around, all that kind of stuff. But just keep it cool around her because she's kind of sensitive. And then it's done. Now, if he does another thing after that, now you go in.
Mm-hmm.
Now you never have to talk to him again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Have your husband give him a little pull-aside lunch break, all right?
Okay.
All right. I'm saying you can have these conversations that aren't full... frontal assaults.
Right.
I know Drew doesn't like it. But
no, I do like it. In fact, my instincts are to do that. The problem is that people that are really sort of sociopathic and do this kind of thing and don't they don't register.
They also get talked into a corner where you come in wanting to have one conversation, you end up having the exact opposite. It's like you start thanking the person for calling you. You know, a lot of people do that too. They get talked back into the same relationship.
Let me talk to Drew for a second. House again revealing something pretty
it's very
interesting.
Very yes. Okay.
What, then I'm not stupid?
Hold on, he's getting nervous.
Okay,
I think he can hear you.
No, I can't hear
How
you.
How dare you?
Quiet.
Help.
Who's he talking to? All right, let's go back.
All right.
Let's...
Maybe my discomfort comes from the fact you're both nude.
Play cool.
I got it.
Okay. Anyway, we got to go to break. We break this time every night, don't we, Drew?
Yes, sir.
This is nothing strange. Nothing for me to worry about.
11:22.
Nothing for me to get concerned about.
No, we got to pay the bills.
This happens all the time.
That's what we do.
Okay.
We break
it's not about
this
me.
Time.
All right, I'm not worried then.
All right, Drew, meet you in the bathroom.
Okay,
I'm gonna cry in the corner.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Hal Sparks is our guest tonight.
That's true.
Hal's from Queers Folk.
It's true.
It's true. That's where he's from. Mm-hmm. And that is Sunday nights at 10 o'clock on Showtime, and then High Def on Tuesday nights. All right. Ready to rock here?
Yeah, let's go.
Save them kids. Who are we going to speak to, Marie?
Mm-hmm.
All right. She's...
Let's save some babies!
She's 28. What's up?
Marie?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Okay, I have a question. I'm a divorcee, and I have a new boyfriend who's also a divorcee. And I think this is, for both of us, the first sexual relationship since our marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, he seems to be shy even in the bedroom, and I was wondering how I could get him to open up without looking slutty.
Well, you want him to initiate sex, or do you want him to sort of expand his repertoire?
The initiating's not a problem, but...
You just want to move around a little bit.
Make some noise?
Yeah, a little more variety.
I mean, I don't think guys consider... Looking slutty is sort of a public display for a guy.
Yeah. In the bedroom, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to a guy. A guy's not going to think anything except thank you.
No, I mean, if you get out the double-ended dong or something, he might say something.
Yeah.
But, I mean, no.
This is going to hurt you a lot more than it's going to hurt me.
he probably was married to a woman who liked it this certain way.
Uh-huh.
He probably doesn't have a whole lot of experience. He's probably met her young, married early, and stayed with
her
for
him?
A while.
Huh?
Do you love him?
Oh.
Or are you guys there yet?
We're not there yet.
Okay. How long have you been going out?
About 3 months.
3 months, and you're already trying to kick him, you know, into high gear?
Yeah. He should have been pent off, like pent up. You know what I mean? I mean, he should have
pent off. He should have been penting off.
Right.
The whole time.
You know, might have
well,
felt,
okay. So, back to my idea. So he got married young, right?
Uh-huh.
Stuck with the same woman for a long time, and she was boring. So he did what she wanted, and he didn't get a chance to cut his teeth.
Okay.
Hasn't been with many women. You got to break him in a little bit.
Okay.
It's his coming out party or his coming on you party.
But we're both, I mean, okay, outside the bedroom, we're both rather
gregarious
shy people.
Rather what?
We're both rather shy people.
Yeah,
I'm just afraid that, you know, if I...
No, listen.
That will not happen.
I got to do is watch. I'll pretend to hump you over the phone, all right? Okay, baby, I'm going to give it to you in the missionary style, just the way we both agreed upon. One, two, three.
The sexual contract is being fulfilled.
Yeah. Well, how are you liking it?
Let me know when it's over.
You liking it?
Well.
Well.
Wait, you want something? You want me to move a little slower?
Slap his ass once and see what his reaction is. And
go.
Then if he doesn't instantly object, do it again. And be a little more aggressive with him. He'll feel like it's okay. Because most guys just don't feel like it's okay, you know?
No, you can just shift around, well, most guys do feel like it's okay.
Well, you know what I mean. It's like if he's been in a...
The guy's had a limited experience.
Yeah.
Here's what you got to do. You do the missionary for a while, and you go, hey, let's try a new position. And you just move into that new position.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
That's it, period.
You make it seem like you just came up with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right?
Okay.
The other thing, it's been 3 months. Let him wait in a little bit, you know? Don't unveil it all at once and just, you know...
Does he give you oral sex?
Not yet.
Is that the big problem?
No, not really. Just
all right.
Do you give him oral sex?
We're taking it very slow. And
well, he's humping you. How slow are you going?
Well, maybe
he's
I'm jumping again.
Yeah.
It's only been twice, but it's a perfect first time.
Okay.
But the second time was the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, he was nervous.
It worked. He was trying to recreate.
It worked,
yeah.
Yeah.
He liked the
you
first
came,
time,
he was like, oh, man, I guess she's got it. Because his wife had a system, too.
Hey, guys.
She only came with, like, you push button A, pull lever C, and right. If you do it in that order, she'll come. But if you change it at all, she won't.
Guys are funny that way. We have like, a sort of an optimal experience, an optimal mode.
And you try to recreate it.
And that's it. It's not about varying. It's like, got it. Let's go. That's
right.
It.
All
right. It's just the shy thing. I mean, because like I said, outside the bed.
Oh, who cares? Just tell him to start slapping your ass and humping your doggy. I don't want to talk about. I'm going to go around the third lamp here. You're 28. Let's go now. All right. Let's take a question for Hal. Eric.
Hey kids, how you doing?
What's going on?
Wow,
hey.
Great, Eric.
Hey Adam.
Kids.
Can you pretend like you're humping me over the phone?
Yes.
Oh, excellent.
And no, I'm going to give. Yeah.
We can do that after the show.
I'm going to do it through a glory hole, though.
Okay, but that's all right. Actually, I have a question for Hal.
Howdy.
Hey, Hal, how you doing?
I'm good.
You were the king of the bubble wrap and Dude, Where's My Car?
It's
right?
True. Well, you know, I was a democratically elected leader, for the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, since it kind of had a marijuana-based theme.
Right.
And there are a couple of scenes, you know, you weren't in them. But
right.
Do you know if any of the cast or crew members got high during the filming?
During the filming?
Yeah.
No.
You don't know?
No, I'm pretty sure not.
That's really a shame.
Yeah, well, I know. I don't want to bum you out. It's really about audience experience anyways. You know, like, nobody gets really punched in the face during a fight scene that Jet Li does, but it's still great to look at.
Did he say cast or crew?
Yeah. Well, that I can't speak
well,
for.
The crew is
the gaffers are definitely burning. Yeah.
I have,
yeah, all the Teamsters are drunk or loaded.
Yeah.
You know, they're high on something.
And, you know, I just wanted to let you know you are part of the best absurd comedy that I've ever seen.
Oh, no, you're not kind of chopper chicks, are you?
No, I'm talking about Dude, Where's My Car?
Okay, good.
It was the strangest laughs I've ever had in a movie theater.
All right, Eric, do you get stoned a lot?
No, I get drunk a lot.
Okay.
That's why his voice is like that.
Good
times.
Have you been screaming, like, for the last 15 hours straight?
No, I have SARS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'll get over it, though.
All right.
I know you will.
I hope he doesn't.
Thanks for calling.
It's weird the way he phrased that you're part of, like, he was going to mention another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back
the
to first movie.
Yeah,
I did the strange cadence almost every sentence.
The only thing worse than a guy with a no sense of humor is a guy who thinks he has a sense of humor.
Who thinks he's smart.
Okay. Oh, Drew.
No, but he had both.
Drew's little claws came out there.
Why are you shooting looks at Adam when you say that, Drew? What's
How dare you? Danielle?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
I started having sex when I was 17. Didn't have my first orgasm until about a year later. After that, had absolutely no problems. Usually orgasm during sex. It was very rare when I didn't. Turned 22. Was abstinent for about a year. Started having sex again, and I'm having a really big time, really hard time orgasming now.
Hmm. What about the new guy?
He doesn't have a problem.
Well, we know he doesn't have a problem. What I mean is, how are you guys doing? How long were you together, you know, before you started having sex? I mean, how do you feel about
months.
Him?
We've been together for about a year now. It's about 6 months before we actually started having sex. I love him. He loves me.
Are you on medication?
Not anything that is according to the medication should affect.
Well, tell me what that something is.
I'm on stuff for my stomach.
What?
And Zantac, and I've also been on, I don't remember what the other one is, but I quit it before I started having sex again.
What was it for?
Gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Were you on Reglan?
Huh?
Reglan?
A what?
Reglan.
All right, listen, Drew.
I'd rather talk to Drew than Adam.
Shut up. All right. Now, where's my finger, Drew?
It's poised.
All right. Oh,
there it goes.
Listen. Drew asked you a question three times. You didn't have the answer. I yelled at Drew because that wasn't the drug you were doing. And then you start busting my balls. It's just rotten purgatory for about another 20 minutes, and I'm in a good mood. I'll talk to you.
Bitch!
Michelle?
Yes?
Jesus
Hello.
Christ.
Oh, don't talk to me.
26. What's
Watch
up?
Where you're driving.
How'd you know?
What's up?
Okay, I've been sexually screwed up for a while now, and I mean, there's quite a few things I could talk about, but the weirdest thing lately was I was getting waxed, you know, bikini waxed.
Right.
And it just...
You had an orgasm while you're getting a bikini waxed?
No.
Okay.
You know, and I've done it a few times, and it's been fine. I've been comfortable, but this time around, it brought back sort of like a flashback.
Of what?
It just didn't feel right. I felt really uncomfortable, and I just...
Yeah, well,
but I don't remember anything like that happening.
Sort of like Sylvester Stallone in First Blood. They come and
Michelle,
shave you, and you freak out and kick everybody and run out of the place. And
was it like that? Would a small-town sheriff try to hold you down with his billy club?
Sure.
All right, so, look, let me ask this. You're never molested, you're never fiddled with?
I don't know.
Well, it's not a conscious memory.
Do you think it's possible to really not remember that? To just
commonly.
Sure.
Are there all kinds of implicit memories that do not have to be explicit, a visual memory or a sensical memory? However, you say flashback. You didn't have a visual experience.
Not a visual. It was just a feeling that overcame me and just a familiar feeling where it just didn't feel right.
How did the wax thing go? You wear a bikini bottom and pull it up and you have
No, it's completely...
Nude.
Nude,
completely
yeah.
Nude, and a little Asian woman does the probing down there?
A big Persian woman.
Oh, really?
That might have been the thing. Seen the Crying Game? Did it make you nervous?
No.
So you're completely bottomless, right?
Yes, and you're lifting your legs, and you're throwing it back, and just, yeah.
And there's no, they don't let you sport even some, like, thong back,
no.
You know?
No, because they have
Listen,
to smear it on.
Over here.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I have to speak
I'm the king of depilatory in this room.
Hold on, let me.
Oh, that's right. Do you have to do that for the show?
You just do it.
I don't do it as a. I mean, I've just had girlfriends who've done it, so I know. You know, I've had the Playboy wax. And is it the full thing?
It's the
Playboy wax.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what?
Wow,
that mean?
That's top to bottom. I mean, they're going
all the way.
That's
around.
Why your legs have to be up.
It's around the.
Yeah,
hall.
It's around every. You're covering both entries.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. You end up with basically.
Okay, that's
like
uncomfortable, anyways. Well, so that's going to feel weird regardless. And now, why do you say. The first thing you said, though, was I've been sexually screwed up for a while now?
No, well, it's been ongoing. There's a lot of things.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Mom. We can't get to it all right now.
Well, you want to give us a taste?
Well,
yeah.
She's not telling us anything.
Okay, well, I'll start with I was very promiscuous before, and now I'm kind of, I've gone the other way where
right.
I'm...
All right, well, that kind of...
That doesn't mean anything.
No, it does. In fact, most sexual compulsive go through periods of extreme abstinence and,
right.
and what's the word, deprivation. And the she's an addict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This, I guarantee you.
She's an addict?
She's an addict of all... Michelle, you have a family history of addiction?
I'm sorry?
You have a family history of addiction?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well...
All right. That's it. She doesn't know.
No, she didn't say that. I thought she said that.
She said she didn't know.
No, she said she was about to answer.
Yeah, she was thinking... yeah.
Michelle.
Yeah.
Did you say you didn't know?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Do you have a family history of addiction?
Family history.
Or alcoholism?
No.
Parents?
No, but I've done my share of drugs, but I've corrected that myself.
No, this is not, you've not corrected anything. The fact is, it's just being expressed sexually now.
She has no family history of drugs.
But she's an addict. I'm just telling you, that's what this is.
Mm.
It's like, I know it when I say it.
Well, why are you asking questions?
What's your ethnicity?
I am Japanese.
Aha.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's a cultural thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, Japanese have a protecting gene against they can have alcoholism but can't drink because of the flush and the vomiting and all that stuff.
Maybe it's a cultural thing. Did you have your vagina bound when you were younger?
No.
No.
She went through this phase where, you know, everybody wanted to sleep with her because she's pretty in Japanese, and then she felt guilty about it, and so she stopped now for a time.
No. No, no, guys. That is.
I don't care. I'm done. She got naked. She spread her legs. She had the big woman with one eyebrow dump a lot of wax up her ass, and she didn't like it. She can't think anything. There's no addiction.
All
she
right.
was sexually compulsive. All Drew right, smells it. Fine.
All right.
We'll be back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Hal Sparks is our guest tonight from Queers Folk. Showtime, 10 o'clock Sunday nights, and then repeating throughout the week, as most good cable shows do.
Many, many times.
Many, many times, yes.
I just, Tuesday High Definition?
Yes. Tonight.
HD on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take Danielle off probation. Danielle?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Mm-hmm.
You've adjusted your attitude?
What?
Mm-hmm. You heard me. You bitch!
I forget what we got mad at her about.
She needed to talk to you.
Oh, that's right.
I was yelling at Drew because he'd asked you the same question three times in a row.
So I asked,
I couldn't tell that you were yelling at him. I thought you were yelling at me.
Was the gastroesophageal reflux medication Reglan?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Was it Prilosec or something like that?
I have been on Prilosec before. Okay. I don't think that was...
Because gastroesophageal reflux substantially increases your risk of esophageal cancer, it is important that this be treated
mm-hmm.
throughout your life.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we have very good medicines that are harmless now, like the proton pump inhibitors or the Zantac.
Was on a proton pump inhibitor.
I understand, of course. There are other medicines that they used to use, like Reglan, things like that, that do have neurologic effects, and that's why I was exploring that.
Please tell me Prilosec isn't one of those?
No.
Okay,
But that will decrease your risk of cancer rather substantially to have that treated chronically.
She was horny before, and now she's not, or she's lost her ability to orgasm. Right. Now
you're fat.
Drew, please.
And with the same guy, in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
No, with a new guy this time.
But this relationship the whole time.
No, not this relationship the whole time. This relationship's only been here for about a year.
Okay.
But the whole time you've been in this relationship, you've been having a problem.
Right.
Right.
How about oral sex?
Oral is great.
But no orgasm.
Actually, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, it's just a question of timing.
Okay, so you're having orgasms, just not through intercourse anymore.
Right.
What do you mean timing? Is he not having sex long enough when having intercourse?
No, actually, it gets to a point sometimes with intercourse where it gets painful. There's like a burning sensation.
Are you on a birth control pill?
Yes, I am.
Which one?
I'm on Nordet.
All right. Hmm. That may be your problem.
Really?
Yeah. Some women from the progestational agent in the birth control pill can get dry and can get depressed and can have their libido knocked down a mm-hmm. notch.
Okay. So see about getting that adjusted?
Yeah. Change the pills.
All right. Yeah. And you're having the orgasm through oral sex. You're, you know, You're a little ahead of the game. You're doing fine. I don't know why you changed, and I guess that's her question.
And it bothers her.
But she's on a bunch of different medications, and, you know, women, they keep changing. Guys, we just get worse.
They have a slow decline, a slow slide.
Yeah, from about the 10th grade on, we just all very, very slow slide. At first, it's gradual, and then we hit the free fall somewhere in our later 30s. But women seem to sort of peak and valley, mm-hmm. you know, like the stock market.
Well, they're part of it, too, is like, you know, a woman's sexual reflex is much more akin, like more attached to her psychological
Absolutely.
Situation. She, if she
Absolutely.
Trusts you, if she trusts the idea of having a child with you, she'll be more apt to have an orgasm during intercourse. If she doesn't, she
how can, sexist? How dare you? How dare you say
it's true?
It's absolutely true.
It's
but
true.
But people attack that point of view. But
yeah,
it's absolutely true.
It's because in a positive sense, just on a
evolutionary.
Yeah, evolutionary yeah. thing. You want to have an orgasm because the cervix dips down into it and pulls. You know.
Well, that's an old theory, but
yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It allows for pregnancy
because
yeah.
you want to have it again.
Yeah.
Well, who knew the guy from Queer's Folk is a gynecologist as well?
I've had a lot of never mind.
Well, I know, you got to compensate. I'm with you, buddy.
Oh, is that what I was going to say? Thank you for telling me.
Who knows what goes on in the old vagina, the old vagina, the old vagina.
How the record, I have my hand up.
The old vagina. Kelly?
Yes.
You're 26?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I have had this problem now with my boyfriend. Actually, it's not with my boyfriend. It's my problem. But every time we've been together sexually, I get a vaginal infection, like the real stinky fish kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to ask Dr. Drew what they keep putting me on this on Metrogel.
Cream, yeah.
I was just wondering if it's something that's ever going to go away with.
Well, is he been treated?
Yeah, we've both been. Well, he hasn't been treated with anything oral. We've both had all the testing for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and everything, the AIDS testing and everything.
Well, wait a minute, though. Did they do a urethral swab on him? They stuck a thing in there and swabbed him?
Yes, they did. I heard it from the other
Well, room. This is usually trichomonas, what you've got, and he needs to be treated with oral antibiotics or he's going to keep giving it back to you.
Okay. That's
It's simple for you. Mm-hmm. You take the cream and that makes it go away. But for him, he's got to take some oral antibiotics.
Yeah, because every time I take it, I get either I take it and then I'm okay for about a month and then I have a UTI and vaginitis at the same time. It's real fun going on down there.
Yeah, he's reinfecting it.
Okay, so he needs to take something too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good times though.
Good times.
Tell him to drink more water too.
All right, that was
easy. He's a big boy.
Renee?
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
First of all, I gotta say, Hal, I have thoroughly enjoyed your co-hosting night. You've been very informative.
Wow, well, all right, see?
Hal's a very lucid guy and he's knowledgeable.
He is. I mean, he's awesome.
See what happens? Can I help you with?
You don't smoke pot, you don't drink?
Yeah,
that's
right.
How you turn
this out. I'm the one white rat in the experiment that America is conducting on itself. I'm in the placebo group, so I can actually function.
Wow, good job.
Yeah. So what's up there, baby doll?
I was wondering, if I've done pot in the past, could I still donate my eggs for, like, you know, the endometriosis clinics? Like, they have women that donate their eggs for up to, like, $2,500 to $5,000.
You do it for the money?
Yeah.
If you ever smoked pot?
Yeah.
I don't think that would exclude you, no.
Okay. And do you know, like...
I know it's part of my personal crusade, but let's call it selling your eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Selling. True.
Yeah. And, you know, smoking pot in the past, do we mean a...
A week ago?
And a huge amount? Are we talking trips to Amsterdam, or are we...
no.
Okay.
God, no.
Just recreational high school use?
Yeah, frequent high school use a couple years ago, and then probably like a couple months ago.
And how much you get an egg?
Well, from what I've heard, like I've checked into several different clinics,
mm-hmm.
and one of them I know was like anywhere from $2,500 to $4,500,
mm-hmm.
and then there's another one like in Reno, which was $5,000.
And is that...
But that's, you have to pull a lever, don't you? And whatever number comes up, that's what you get. And like it's on a slot
three
machine,
egg.
Like, three eggs and you get $4,500, and a viper.
And is that... Is that based, is that scale sort of based on your qualifications, like your height or your education and that kind of stuff?
And the rarity of some
Actually,
factors?
I think it's based on the diameter of the egg. No, I'm kidding. Oh,
right.
But
it's on your SAT scores, you know, and the coefficient of whether you have blonde hair or not.
No, I think it's just based on the different clinics, like
right.
the market, areas that need more money.
Market forces.
You know.
Yeah, but
well,
some clinics can vary as much as $2,000.
Why are you?
It's the point is that $2,000 may not be worth $2,000 in Los Angeles. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, but within the same clinic, I think they vary.
Really?
Didn't you start off by saying some were 25, and the same one would go up as 45, as high as 45, didn't you?
Well, how big is your student loan that you want to sell your eggs?
It's about $5,000.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And rather than pay it off over the course of 8 years, you just have somebody stick a tube up you and suck one of you know,
hey, Renee,
a piece of your body out. And,
Renee, does it vary within the same clinics?
No, I'm not sure. Well, like, there's two different ones that I've checked out in one of the same towns, and one was $2,500 and the other was $4,500.
Oh,
said, well,
two different
clinics.
Go to the
All
one
right.
with $4,500 and sell one egg and then pay the go to work at McDonald's for a week and make $500 in
exactly.
All right. Donate that egg and then take all the money you got from donating it and get yourself a nice Miata.
Mm.
All right. Good times. Let's just have someone tell Hal they love him real quick. Lindsay?
Yes?
You big queer folk fan?
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Hal.
Hi, how are you?
I love the show.
All right, good.
I can't believe I got through. I've been trying for like an hour.
Tell me you love him in 10 seconds.
Okay.
She thinks you're kidding.
I just wanted to call and tell you how much I love the show, and I just wanted to ask you what it's like and if you guys are all close. And
yeah, we're a pretty close-knit group of actors considering. I think it's because we've all kind of taken on not just a TV show, but like there's so much railing against us.
They've also taken on the character roles.
The man.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take ourselves a quick break. That's Hal Sparks.
Hi.
We'll be right
back. We'll be right back.
Well, I want to thank Hal Sparks for coming in here tonight. Good to see you again after quite a few months or years.
Yeah.
So it's thanks for coming in. We do appreciate it. Queer's Folk, everybody. Showtime, Sunday nights, and then repeat it all throughout the week. Hal, best of luck to you.
Well, I'll take that as positive.
And come back and see us anytime you like.
I will.
And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. She would
Actually,
recognize
I'd
it the first
Dr.
time.
I'd rather Dr. Drew than Adam.
Shut up.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.